Trainer Talks and Tales acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Turrbal and Yugara people of Meanjin. We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Trainer Talks and Tales love having an array of guests with a variety of opinions. However, the views of the individuals do not necessarily reflect the perspectives of the host facilities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Trainer Talks and Tales, your weekly insights into zoos and aquariums. You're joined, of course, by Daisy and Tess. Hey, Daisy, how's it going?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Excited for another episode that we have coming ahead. How have you been, though, Tess? How's your week?
Yeah, good, thank you. Same as always, just loving mum life at home. But not much new to report here, just keeping that balance of socialising and having days at home as well and taking it slow, going for walks and that kind of thing. But that's all really, not much new to report. How about you? How's work going? Anything exciting happening there?
Oh, well, we are now officially in school holidays. So we're in Queensland school holidays at the moment, and then I think New South Wales and Victoria start school holidays next week, so that's when it probably get a little bit busier. But so far, it's not been too hectic. The weather is so beautiful at the moment here in Queensland, so I feel like people are opting for the beach, which I don't blame them at all. But yeah, work has been good. I've still been progressing a little bit with Nelson's look back behavior that I touched on last week. We've just finally, like, no one talks about the fact that when training a new behavior, the hardest thing to think of is a new cue. And because this behavior is the first one of all of our seals, so none of the other seals know this behavior. So we've had to kind of rack our brains for an interesting cue that is slightly different. So there's no discrimination with all of the other behaviors that Nelson knows. So we use our hands, different movements with our hands quite frequently with Nelson for a lot of different behaviors. So it's been, yeah, a little bit challenging to think of something. And I'm kind of at the approximation now in my shaping that it's time to insert the cue. So I think I have an idea. So I'm going to hopefully try and give that a go tomorrow or the next couple of days at work, see if he starts picking up on that. So yeah, exciting. And hopefully that won't take too long to train. So it's been quite fun and quite reinforcing to train from my perspective as well. But I do have just like a really quick recommendation that's a little bit different to, and I guess not directly related to animals, but something that I took away from is a podcast. It's called Working Hard or Hardly Working. And it's this fantastic girl. Her name's Grace. She interviews a variety of different business entrepreneurs, etc., and kind of talks about their journey. And she did one with a girl that I follow for a long time. Her name's Tash. And she just touched on a few really important things that I feel like, even though it's not necessarily related to our industry, it's definitely things that we can take away from. And one sort of way she kind of explained everything, I guess, was some people like to sit in one lane of traffic where they do what's expected of them. They sit in their one lane, they go home, they zone out. Then you have people who like to sit in three lanes of traffic that kind of across different roles a little bit, might stay back a little bit here and there, will, you know, make sure they've got a good life balance with work. And then you have the people who sit in like the crazy America, six lanes worth of traffic, that are across everyone's role, is really aware of what everyone's doing, is there for a lot of financial gain possibly, but also to develop skills, personal development, etc. And it doesn't really matter what sort of lane you fall into, because everyone's super different and work can be relevant and different for everyone. But one thing she said was that at the end of the day, it's whatever you choose to put in is what you choose. Whatever you choose to put in is what you get out of it. So I just thought that was a really cool quote. And I really like that quote a lot. It says, you know, there's so much freedom and flexibility for us to choose how work looks. But at the end of the day, what we choose to put in is what we're going to get out of it. So how hard we choose to work is, you know, what we're going to gain from it. So I quite like that. And I thought I wanted to share that today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that was fun. Anyway, but enough of me. Let's get into our episode test. Do you want to talk about who we've got joining us today?
Yes, today we're talking to Cheryl, who I've actually known for many years. She was at Lone Pine years ago, but she's moved on to more of an eco-conscious role. So Cheryl is the most inspiring person I've ever met when it comes to making good decisions for the environment. Her laugh and her Absolute sparkly personality is so contagious, and her love for the environment is just incredible. So let's get into this episode. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Trainer Talks and Tales. It's an absolute pleasure to have you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We're really excited. I knew that this is going to be a fun ep. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, do you mind if we get started into our fast five, where you just answer these questions as quickly as possible?
Let's do it.
Okay, number one, cheesecake or chocolate cake?
Cheesecake.
Koalas or flying foxes?
Flying foxes.
Honey or Vegemite?
Honey.
Ducks or chickens?
Ooh, chickens.
And finally, Wet n Wild or Movie World?
Movie world.
Nice one. I had a feeling you'd say that. All right, well, once again, thank you very much for joining us. It's so exciting to have you on. You're an absolute delight to talk to. So this is going to be a good ep. I can just feel it. But I've known you for many, many years. We worked together for years in Koalas at Lone Pine Koala Sanctuary. And you had many roles there. And I know that you spent a lot of time at Lone Pine throughout your career. So we're keen to talk about that. But on this episode, we're having more of an eco-conscious focus, and you are the most eco-conscious person I have ever met. Your passion and dedication for making change for the planet is so inspiring and so infectious. I've actually been following your account, Be the Change Cheryl, for years and years. It's my favorite account on Instagram. I think I might have even mentioned it on the podcast before that I love it. But at the moment, you're not at Lone Pine. You haven't been for a few years. You're currently a behavior change officer. What a title. When you sent me that, I was like, I've never heard of that before. That's so cool. But before we get into what a behavior change officer is, can you tell us a little bit about your zookeeping career and what preceded this behavior change officer role?
Even since I was in high school, it was my role, just like you, Tess, to work with animals. So in year 10, I did my work experience at Gondwanaland. That used to be at South Bank, so that was my first foray into zookeeping, and then I went to uni. I did a Bachelor of Applied Science in Animal Studies, Wildlife Biology, and then I just struggled to get into the industry. So I did volunteer at Lone Pine and at Australia Zoo, and then my boyfriend, now husband, got transferred to Darwin, so I went with him and I volunteered at Territory Wildlife Park. And then came back to Brisbane and then volunteered at Lone Pine again. And I think they felt sorry for me and they said, there's a job in maintenance. You'll be cleaning toilets and blowing paths and cleaning barbecues. I was like, yes. So I did that. That was my foot in the door. And so I did that for about 6 months and then I got into koalas. And I think I've done most sections of Lone Pine. So yeah, mammals and birds and macropods and birds of prey. So yeah, and I did go leave for a little while, and go traveling, and I came back, and then I was mostly in education after that, but still I dabbled in koalas and macropods after that. But yeah, loved my time at Lone Pine. It was amazing.
Yeah, you literally, I think, listed almost every section. You had a lot of interest, and yeah, I love that you started in the maintenance team. You're like, yep, no worries, I'll do it, whatever. I mean, as you know, I did the same thing. I was like, whatever, to get my face known and get your foot in the door. So that's great that you did that. Yeah, you had a great career at Lone Pine. Now we'd love to know what you're doing now.
So my role is a program officer for behavior change. Now, I actually went to a little a secondary school event, which was about careers just recently, and there's actually a whole range of behavior change jobs. So I work in waste, but there's a friend of mine's got a job in behavior change with Queensland Transport and Main Roads, like teaching some about road safety. There's graffiti prevention, there's the litter team preventing people changing attitudes to a litter. That behavior change is actually a huge area, but like I say, I work in waste and resource recovery, and I do a lot of what I did at Lone Pine. Like I actually work out of the landfill a couple of days a week, and school kids come and I educate them about a reduce, reuse, recycle, avoid, all those things. And the kids get to take a tour of the rubbish and get shocked at the amount of waste that we're creating. And there's a couple, like I actually am in the community in all different age groups. So we have a Waste Smart Kindy program. So I've made up a song about choosing the right bin to put your rubbish in.
Love
and
that.
And then I even go and talk to like retirement villages and Probus groups about recycling and consuming less. But yeah, it's a really fun job. But yeah, my focus now is waste.
That's so cool.
Love that.
I until Tess kind of said that we were going to have you on the podcast, I had never heard of that particular role. And I think it's so reassuring and actually really refreshing to hear that there is roles like that out there. And it's like leading the way in how we can be more sustainable and better with such a variety of different things from what you said. Have you found from your job that there is like a particular age range that's like generally more responsive to what you're saying? Or like, I can imagine maybe some are less interested than others, or how have you found that?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I do get the older age group. They are really wanting to know how to recycle every single thing. One guy was like, "What can I do with my old belts?" But you know, really, I guess they've got more time on their hands. They're really willing to keep things out of landfill. But I think most age groups, I think the teenage age group, they start to get a little bit more, oh, it's too big of a problem. And maybe, you know, so you just got to kind of break through that and say every little action counts.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so beneficial what you're doing. And even if some people take away 100 things or some people take away one thing, like I think it's still super important and really refreshing. Like I mentioned, that we've got systems like that and roles like that in place. Do you work for a particular company, or like, do you go out and utilize the education side of it?
I work for Brisbane City Council. So yeah, local government. So yeah, it's a huge organization. So I'm really stoked that I got in.
Yeah. Like Daisy said, I'm relieved and it's refreshing to hear that there are these kind of roles in place. And yeah, it's a nice thought to have, really, that there's people like you that are striving to make change. On that note, actually, while you're at Lone Pine, you ran the Green Team, and this was a team dedicated to making positive environmental changes around the sanctuary and focusing on the sanctuary's improvement of sustainability. Can you list some of the changes you implemented at the sanctuary in your time in that role? Because I know that there was a lot.
The change that I'm most proud of was introducing organic waste bins. It sounds like a simple change, but I pitched this to several different managers, because I think over COVID we had a change of management and then an acting management, and I was like, oh, new blood, I'm going to pitch it again. So I think you need someone who's, you know, got the passion to keep on, get a knockback, try again, if you really believe in it. But yeah, so that involved really proving, and the current general manager of Lone Pine really sat down and we did the maths and we worked out it was going to save Lone Pine money. It's better for the environment, you know, diverting all the organic waste from landfills. That was like saying kitchen waste, food, animal kitchen waste, poo, leaves. It was all going to landfill, but we separated it out. And over a year, looking at the bills, we diverted more than 50% out of landfill. And but yeah, it took a lot of persistence to get it across. And then also just educating the team, saying, okay, we've got this new bins. This is what you put in it. This is why we do it. It's a little bit of extra work, but it's for the greater good. And I kind of took time to speak to all the cleaners and say, this is why we're doing it. You know, greenhouse gases, waste in landfill produces greenhouse gases, you know, and you know, it is a little bit of extra work, and even just changing the signage. So everyone was on the same page. It was a big thing, but that was my pinnacle. But then we did, oh, what else? We had I started a couple of worm farms, so that was another waste thing. So we were feeding the worms from the feed shed, but then the worms from the worm farm were getting fed onto the platypus. So it was like
Yeah.
circular. So that was really cool.
I've never heard someone be so passionate and adore worms like that. Like you just said that, I was like in awe of what you were saying.
Get to run composting courses now, which is really exciting. But anyway, we got containers for change in the sanctuary, which was
Yeah.
really good. So that was through the Scouts Recycling. And oh, there was another cool thing. The green, I don't know if it's still there, but the green caffeine. So it was like these coffee cups, which were, you scan out a cup, drink your coffee, and then return it. But if you didn't return it, that's when you'd get a fee. So that was making it easier to people for people to avoid the single-use coffee cup. So those were
Yeah.
a few things that we did. Yeah.
No, honestly, there were so many changes that you made in that time, and I think yeah, they're great. And even that big difference in mindset, like you said, it is a really big thing. But all that waste that was going to go to landfill, you have changed that, and we are still using that system. So you should be very proud of yourself and all the changes that you made, Cheryl. It's great to see.
Oh, that's awesome. But it wasn't just me. There was like so many other waste champions, like people I'd be in the kitchen, people in, Tess was on the green team. Are you still on the green team?
Back.
There's different people. But yeah, it wasn't just me, gathering, like-minded people that would, step up and say, hey, not that bin, the other one. One got it wrong. That was really like, it was nice.
Love that. I can imagine there being like little security cameras everywhere and someone just talking at you if you dare go near the wrong bin. So
No,
good.
you'll be proud to know that Kayla sometimes takes things out of the bin. We had Kayla on the episode a few days ago, and she like tapes them up and was like, "These items were in the wrong bin." It was like a chocolate wrapper and like all these things. And it's like, remember, this one goes here. So Kayla's really picking it up for you and making sure that everyone's using the right bin.
Tessa, I actually saw Todd, who was one of the cleaners. I was out and about, and he said, "Yeah, Kayla does what you did." Now she was going through the bins, and she keeps everyone off. Yes.
On their toes. Yeah, it keeps them accountable. I love it.
That's so good. And I really loved how you said about you kind of really tried to encompass all the staff as well as the whole facility with changing signage as well, because I think being more sustainable is something that everyone wants to do without a doubt, but it comes down to like it becoming a habit. So if it's all around you, it's a lot easier to join in on that. And I guess like
Yeah.
kind of following on that, like, can you share possibly any tips on how people who might be in other facilities and want to start things like a green team, which is such an amazing idea, like a waste warrior, like you mentioned, or just changing things for sustainability? What are some of your tips that you could maybe pass on to start a program like that?
So I think start creating a team. It is really wonderful to have like sustainability warriors, waste warriors, but it can't be just one person. If that person goes on leave or takes a holiday, we don't want everything to just fall to the wayside. Like, we want to create a system where everyone is on board. But yeah, I think having a team, getting people from different departments, meeting regularly. It is a challenge because, it can be hard to find members of the team that have capacity to take on something a little bit extra. But find those passionate individuals, meet regularly, invite people to bring their ideas, and together as a group, you can feel empowered and don't, feel disheartened if you get knockbacks, because often sustainability can maybe cost a little bit of extra money for the business, or it might take some fundraising or a little bit of extra work. But if you work together as a team, those little wins when you get something across the line is Awesome. One program that I work that I support in my current role is supporting some eco warriors in schools. So these year 10 students that are trying to create sustainable change in their school. I'm their subject matter expert for waste. So if they've chosen waste, they come for me to, but I've really taken from my experience at Lone Pine to give them advice about, okay, the principal said no, go away and do some more research and come back again. So yeah, create a team and work together, I think.
That makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Delegate.
Yeah,
I wrote in my notes, there's a really cool book. I can't remember the author's name, but his title of the book is called Atomic Habits. So he's got four pinnacles of behavior change. It's like make it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy. And oh, I wrote make it attractive twice, but look up Atomic Habits, and there's four steps that will, that make it easier for a change to stick.
That's some
Yeah, we
really,
can add
really
it
good
into our show
advice.
notes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've read that book actually. My husband definitely has, and he absolutely loved it as well. So it sounds very
Yeah.
familiar.
Now, going back to what we were saying before about your passion, it's very clear that you're passionate about this. And I really want to know, was it a difficult decision leaving the zoo industry, or did you know that it was your time to move towards your other passion of sustainability?
It was a difficult decision because some of my best friends are at Lone Pine and love the animals, love the space. But it was, yeah, getting that buzz from doing eco things at Lone Pine kind of just snowballed. I ended up doing some work with a small company called Mallow Sustainability. I did waste audits and waste sorting and events and some talks through them. And that lady actually found me through Instagram, which was really cool. She's like, blah, blah, blah. Do you want a job? And I was like, yeah. And then, and then I started to do bee work. And I guess Lone Pine was like my comfort zone, but I was ready to pursue, something outside of my comfort zone and to try something new and maybe have it influence more people. That was my
Definitely.
goal. Yeah.
No, that's a really great.
Definitely.
I like the idea of like spreading your passion and spreading your learnings and your teachings to such a huge variety of people. And they're like such an amazing opportunity to be able to do so. You touched on it like a teeny tiny bit there, but I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this next question because, being an eco-conscious queen, you're also, like you mentioned, a beekeeper. You do a lot with your own veggie gardens, your own beauty products, cleaning products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Could you maybe talk to us a little bit more about the changes that we can make at home to have more of a sustainable environment or be more mindful of the environment we're in?
So you can really take it as far or as little as you want. One simple change that you can make is just choosing bars. So like soap bars or lotion bars, that you can even get deodorant bars, shampoo bars, conditioner bars, and all of these bar, they come without any packaging, which is, the best waste is the waste that we don't create in the first place. So, that's where I would start as a simple change. And then even things like making a surface spray, if you, for cleaning, a little bit of vinegar, you could soak some lemon skins in the vinegar, add a dash of detergent, and you've got a multi-purpose spray. A little bit of vinegar and water, you've got window cleaner. Do you know what I mean? There, it's non-toxic, ingredients that are really inexpensive, and you can just reuse the same container or a spray bottle. So I've, over the years I've tried making, well, I do make my own soap, but it kind of came from, the trying bar soap, but, I've made toothpaste powder. And they don't always all work, but I just, I could take this one step further.
Cheryl has like yellow teeth with like two teeth.
She's like, but it's sustainable.
But yeah, just you know, there's so many recipes on Pinterest, so you can get some books out from the library of doing your DIY cleaning products, and some work, some do. And when you find something that works, you can just keep on making the same thing. And just remembering your reusables, you know, just your reusable cup, your bottle. Yeah, it's just so you're avoiding the single use. Even I try to remember my own container. Like, my kids love sushi, so if I know I'm going to get sushi, I'll bring my little container, and they know me at my locals, and they're like, okay, you know. So it's just, and I get that buzz, you know, and that's what prompted me to start my Instagram, because I was like, oh, I did it. I even when I went to the butcher once, and I was like, can you put my sausage in here? It's like the awkward the first time, and they're like, don't see why not. Do you know what I mean? So just bringing your own container, it's a bit awkward the first time, but then and then they get to know you. That she's that weird one. Even I went to the dentist and I brought a tea towel, and they put their little thing, and so I could avoid the single use bib.
It's so good.
And they're like, you know, but
no,
it's not. And they were like, oh, and now they have it on their notes. She likes to bring her own cup and bib or a tea towel. But you know, imagine if everyone did that. And another thing, I home with like our organic waste. I've got chickens and ducks and like a bunch of poultry, which not everyone can have, but they eat my scraps. But I have a worm farm and a compost bin, and it's really easy to. I started with a worm farm, and you know, you are just recycling. I say to the kids, I get my vermi castings, and they're like, what that? It's poo. The plants love it. So so yeah, just doing, you know, keeping those organics out of landfill, because you know, methane is, you know, 28 times worse than carbon dioxide, and if we're sending less to landfill, it's better for the environment. So, and our landfill's filling up if you live in Brisbane, so yeah, it's going to cost us money anyway.
I can only imagine. And like, all of those things that you've just said are so helpful, and I think for majority of people, they like things that are simple, easy to do, doesn't cost too much, doesn't take too much time. And I can imagine all of those things that you've passed on are like really effective things and little things that can help. I found recently, like, my little sustainable tip, I guess, is if I ever need to get fruits and veggies, I get the like paper bags that you use for mushrooms instead of the plastic bags, and just like take that around with me. So it's a little my sustainable tip. Do you have a sustainable tip, Tess?
Yeah, just those like fruit bags as well, having them bottom of your green bag, definitely. I actually love that you mentioned all those things, Cheryl. And I admit I haven't done it this year, but I had a baby, so that's fair. I would try and do plastic-free July every year, and it was the same thing. You'd go to Coles or Woolies, and you're like, can I use my container? And it was the same thing. They frowned and thought you were weird, but then you do it the next week, and it was less weird. So if we all did it, and we all used our mugs, like, in the staff room as well, rather than people just going down and getting a coffee from the cafe, go up there to the staff room, get your mug, and walk back down. It's like one more minute to just, you know, bring your own mug, and just little changes like that. That's so easy. So I think that you listed a lot of great ideas there.
Yeah. And for me, I have kids, and I actually, it's a real thing. I get eco anxiety. I worry about the future of the planet, and I want this planet to be as beautiful for my kids and so on. So I feel like if I take an action, I'm doing something. Do you know what I mean? I'm not just letting it happen. I'm trying to do something. So that's just the driver behind all my thing. Yeah, all the things that I do. And even I might influence my workmates. One of my friends from work, she goes, don't look at me, Cheryl, I forgot my cup. And I was like, you know, hopefully next time she will be shamed enough to remember.
Don't look at me.
Gosh. you're definitely influencing me even more, so thank you.
Oh, so good. Now, your passion is infectious. It's amazing. I love it. Do you have any advice for anyone who's listening right now who might be a bit inspired to move to a role like your own? How would they go about doing something like that?
When I decided that I wanted to go for I saw quite a few roles. I actually bagged this the role that I'm in on my fifth try. So
Wow.
I actually had several interviews. I did several applications, and at one point, because I had been at Lone Pine for what, 14 years in total, I was like, does not does my experience, does it not translate? Do you know what I mean? But the more you apply, you get better at the application process. And I think Chris said this. I listened to Chris's podcast the other day about, for addressing the criteria, you get better at applying, and you get better at interviewing. And just don't let the man get you down. Just keep on trying. And just and if you are not getting there quite yet, still keep working towards it. So I was doing some waste sorting events with Mallow Sustainability on my way to, with a goal. I was like, I want to work for local government. I want to, work smarter, not harder. Do you know what I mean? And I didn't lose sight, and I got there. So yeah.
Yeah. No, well done. I think that's great advice for sure. We had a question box up on our socials for people to ask you some things, and we got flooded with questions. So is it okay if we jump straight into them?
Yeah.
Okay. Our very first question, which I think was a brilliant one, and I'm keen to hear the answer to this. Advice for an eco-friendly Christmas, and if you have any favorite product recommendations.
Well, I do this every year, and I do an Instagram post every time I do it.
I know what you're gonna say.
I have this cloth, and it was so funny when my eldest was going to was. I was pregnant with my eldest, and I was on maternity. I was like, I am gonna sew. When you're like, I'm gonna sew, because I'm gonna make clothes from scratch. Anyway, I didn't. So I have all this cloth, and now I just reuse it every for all the presents. And then one of my sons said, oh, Santa does cloth wrapping too. And I was like, yes, he cares about the environment as well. And so we have like Santa's cloth that he uses. And then reusable wrap. And I did go, I think on eBay, I found these like reusable bonbons. They don't
Oh,
pop.
cool.
I think you can buy popping ones that come apart, and you buy a refillable bang bang bit. But just reusable napkins. We have a real tree, and we just recycle the decorations every year. And every time the kids make something crafty, I keep it, and that becomes a Christmas decoration. So I guess just bringing things out year after year, rather than, because Christmas can be so consumer, so much,
Very
commercial.
consumer heavy, yeah.
So, and I try to give, I try. I'm not a total Grinch. I do get my kids a present, but they and I always supplement it with an experience. So we all get to do something rather than, I just try to buy one present rather than filling their stockings full of lots of plastic knickknacks that just last a week, So I'm just conscious, and my kids are not ashamed of going to the op shops as well. They love it. So it's just getting them, they're familiar with that, and that's a thing. So, yeah.
Something that I've always loved, which you inspired me to do, is experiences as well. I agree. We love to give, like, you walk down, on Christmas Eve, you're like, oh, I'll buy that for that person, I'll buy that for that person. And you're just buying for the sake of buying. But if you went home and put that $100 towards a dive, you know, if that person does diving, or to go on a hot air balloon, or, you know, do all these experiences that they'll remember forever. That's so much better. And they'll actually guaranteed remember it than being like, oh, thanks for that, you know, teapot that I didn't really need because I've already got four teapots, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that you do that. Experiences are way better than bad gifts.
Yes,
100%.
I absolutely agree. And so valuable as well, and such like great memories. So we did choose one more question for you as well, Cheryl. Now, this question, I'm pretty excited to hear what you've got to say because I don't know about you, but I have found personally that you can educate a huge audience when you're working at a zoo and aquarium or in the role that you're working in. But sometimes it is the people closest to you that seem to struggle to take on kind of eco changes. I mean, I can count a couple of times that one of my good friends that is so aware of what we do, you know, has put balloons in birthday events or things like that. And you're like, why, when we're doing all this work to try and educate people? How have you found, or like, can you pass on the best ways to encourage those people around you to make good choices?
Yeah, I think it's important. I know I mentioned about my friend from work. So it's like, don't look at me when I've got my first cup. But don't. It's very important not to shame anyone or put them on the spot because then they'll just get their back up. I find that I just, you know, try to lead by example and not be preachy, but just make it a positive thing. And like that's what another reason why I have my little Instagram, because I was like, maybe this person will see. Hopefully, oh, they're following me. Yes, I'm gonna post a photo. But yeah, you can't be preachy. You don't want people to get their back up or think that it's too hard or that's only something Cheryl does or that's only something that's more extreme that, you know, it's yeah. I think it's just leading by example and being passionate. I don't think you should ever shame someone for, and just let it disperse organically. Yeah. So, and like my family, like they know I do the cloth wrapping and then they give the cloth back to me. Do you know what I mean? And they try, and I love it because, you know, they try to get me eco, you know, a reusable something, and they, and sometimes I've actually said, don't worry about a gift for me. I just want to see you at Christmas and have a nice feed. Like, we don't need to do gifts. So we actually at my family have just said gifts for the kids, and it's more about just, you know, gathering together at Christmas time. And sometimes it can take a little bit of the stress of Christmas and trying to think of what to get the people that have everything. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, even Secret Santa, where you have one person, way less
Oh, yes.
stressful than
Yes. And the fun
20.
too. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, well, Cheryl, you've given us so many great tips. And like I said, you just are like this energizer bunny of excitement. And you really do empower me to make better choices. So I hope other people have taken some tips from this episode as well. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it. And yeah, maybe this little podcast will influence a few extra people as well. So, doing the good work,
Definitely.
you guys.
Okay, so I totally know what you mean about her being so energetic, so passionate. It's so authentic. And I really enjoyed learning a little bit about a role that I hadn't even heard of before that conversation. So it was really good to have a conversation with her.
Yeah, I loved it. She's always a pleasure to talk to. Anyway, thanks so much, guys, for listening, and we'll be back in your ears next week.